This is spectacular Beethoven. I really enjoyed, you know, I thought, oh gosh, more Beethoven. But this was a real joy to put together. Was it a joy to make?
Oh, yes. Of course, the Beethoven symphonies are just incredible treasures. And yes, they've been recorded many, many times before. You know, it's still, for me, they're very fresh pieces and very personal, and each interpretation is really different from the next, and there's a lot of room for new interpretations, and I love the experience. I love my orchestra. I love the orchestra, the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. I'm very excited. We started the series. Hopefully I'll get to record some of the other symphonies.
Was it hard just choosing these two? I mean, you could pair, you know, 2 and 7, 6 and 7, 5 and 7. Mm-hmm. How was it to pick these two?
Well, 4 and 7 often are paired together. The reason why I did it is because we had just done them a lot over the last 8 or so years. We've performed the 4th and 7th kept popping up more than any others, and I really felt most comfortable with these two pieces. So when you're recording, you really want to feel like you've reached a place that with the works that feels very stable and something that if you put it down on disc, that you're not the next year going to look back and say, oh, why did I do it then? I want to do it now. Of course, I get that every time anyway. But I felt like I was ready to do it with the 4th and 7th. And they do both go very well together. Both these pieces that are really primarily about great joy and the celebration of the human spirit. They're amazing pieces. 7th, very popular, of course. The 4th, not as popular, but a gem in its own right.
To me, it's a different animal when you're, you know, performing Franck Violin Sonata and score study for it. I mean, obviously, it's something you've lived with a long time. When you're then looking at a big orchestral score, and I guess maybe, you know, let's say Beethoven Violin Concerto is a better example. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, there are different approaches to your violin part, but you want to know when the oboe is playing along in a third with you or whatnot. Yeah. Is it a different approach for you when you're conducting and actually, you know, looking at these, you know, larger orchestral forces?
Well, it's first of all, playing a Beethoven Violin Concerto, I want to know what the oboe is doing, you know, at all times. And I approach, you know, playing a concerto in a similar way. It's chamber music, and you have to know all the parts. You have to know how the idea of a soloist just getting up and playing their part and hoping everyone is going to follow them is just not the model of good concerto playing. I've been directing, you know, I've directed the violin concerto for many years, and then I started directing the symphonies. Funny enough, after doing the symphonies, when I go back to playing the violin concerto, it's changed the way I approach it's the way when you're conducting a symphony, you really, a lot of it has to do with pacing and tempi and how you relate them, all the things that you deal with with all music. But somehow when you're directing an orchestra and coaching an orchestra, you really have to analyze and think about every phrase in very particular way, and it really, it helps all my music making when I do that. So it's not easy. I mean, it's something I'm still learning. I'm learning particularly, you know, about the winds and how to coach the winds in the way that I want. I'm much more comfortable, of course, with strings because I'm a string player. But it's been an incredible experience for me.
You know, I think it's interesting. It used to be where, you know, someone like Louis Spohr might play and conduct, and it wasn't a big deal. And I guess he was, you know, really sort of the first one to, you know, to put down his bow and pick up a baton. And, you know, throughout the, you know, these sort of original instruments, these historical studies, you know, folks will lead from the keyboard. Is it seem natural to you now to sort of go to, you know, playing and conducting with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields?
It's all been a very natural process for me because I've always done a lot of chamber music. And then Growing up, this was very strongly encouraged. I went to summer camps in Marlborough and other places where it was all about chamber music. And my teacher, Gingold, he was a concertmaster of the Cleveland Orchestra under George Zell for many years. He played in the quartet, the Primrose Quartet. He did a lot of solo things. So he was as a model for me. My teacher was the model of an all around musician that did all those things. So for me, going from chamber music to starting with the academy, we started with more string pieces. You know, the Vivaldi Four Seasons and Schubert's Death and the Maiden. A string orchestra version. And then we started growing into more wind pieces, Mozart symphonies, Mendelssohn symphonies, Beethoven symphonies. And it's all been a very natural expansion process for me and with the repertoire-wise. So it's all felt very, very, very sort of organic. It's made sense, this path that I'm going down. And now this is sort of – and the more I work with this orchestra, the – more I feel comfortable just getting up in front of them and directing even without my violin. And I'm probably leading in that direction, doing some work that way. But there's really is something special about leading from the violin. There's nothing more organic than that. In fact, you know, the idea of someone holding a stick and trying to get people to play with that is actually somehow more unnatural. It can be great if you have a great conductor, but it's somehow the actual act is less natural than getting up and playing with the orchestra and directing from the instrument.
Well, I hope you guys explore more Beethoven and a lot of the rep, because these are very fresh, very exciting readings.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm curious. You've probably been to all sorts of whether it was school awards there in Bloomington or the Grammys. There's a pretty cool entry this year for a film called Chasing Ice.
Yes.
Up for the Oscars, and I hear all sorts of rumors about, you know, gift bags and whatnot. Tell us a little bit about how this song came together and how Jay Ralph approached you.
Well, Josh Ralph, who's a composer, I think this is his first Academy nomination, but he's written some nice things, and I knew him personally as a friend. We had met through another friend, and he has a great recording studio in Manhattan that I'd seen. And so he just he was doing this song with Scarlett Johansson for this film, Chasing Ice, and he said he wants a violin, sort of turn it into a violin duet or whatever. And he said, "Do you want to play with Scarlett Johansson?" I said, "Sure, Scarlett Johansson, of course. Great actress. I didn't know she was a great singer, though. He played me her voice, and I thought, wow, she really has something really a unique quality to her voice, and so I did that, and then the Oscar nomination, which you know, for Josh, that came as a surprise. I wasn't really paying attention to who was up for. I just got an email last week saying the song is up for an Oscar, so that's exciting. I get to root for him, and hopefully the song will win.
Yeah, it's.
I don't get a gift bag, by the way. Just for being there.
Darn. Oh, man. The Golden Globes were just last night, right?
Yes. I've played on the Grammys several times and presented on the Grammys, and I know about those gift bags. When you get to be on the show, it's pretty awesome. I'm still sleeping on a mattress that was part of a gift bag, believe it or not.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
it didn't actually fit in the gift bag. I think it was more of a coupon, but that's fun. But it's so neat to be connected with it. This is my second time sort of connected with the Oscars in this way, because I was actually in the audience when John Corleano won the Oscar for The Red Violin, which I played the soundtrack for. That was in year 2000, and that was one of the most exciting nights ever for me, just to be there and to have them see them call his name and be a part of that. It was something very special.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And I know you've done what is it? Ladies in Lavender was a big soundtrack, right?
Yes. Yes, it was. Ladies in Lavender was one that's not a film that a lot of people saw, but surprisingly, I get a lot of people writing to me saying that was their favorite soundtrack. And some people saying their favorite album of mine is Ladies in Lavender. And it's actually very wonderful, sweet music. And, I've been involved in a few films, always looking for for, you know, the next one. It's I love film. I love the way music and film work together, and always open to those things and new collaborations. It's fun. I get to meet people like Scarlett Johansson or like Sting on my last album. You know, At Home with Friends, I got to work and play with some really cool people, Regina Spektor and Marvin Hamlisch, the late Marvin Hamlisch, and people like that. And I think I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be doing that if I limited myself or sort of thought, you know, this is inappropriate for a classical musician to be doing those sort of things. You know, some people might say that, but I totally disagree. I think you need to celebrate music in all kinds of ways.
And I always think maybe, you know, they see your name with the Oscars or a film, and perhaps they'll, you know, check out this Beethoven, which is really awesome. Or maybe, you know, they'll go, oh, gosh, you know, he's playing here in Huntsville or he's playing here in Florida and I should go see him.
Well, I do hope that that's sort of a side effect of doing things like this. It's not my main purpose for doing collaborations with unusual circumstances, but I have seen that as an effect. You know, when I did a duet with Josh Groban, for instance, very popular singer who sells, gosh, I think he sold tens of millions of records. When I did a duet with him, I was amazed at how many people I was getting backstage at my concerts saying, I didn't know of you or didn't have any of your albums. I never went to a classical concert, but I heard your duet with Josh Groban, and now I'm here and, you know, listening to Beethoven symphonies, and now I'm a classical music nut. You know, it's like I get that all the time, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing when that happens.
Well, we'll see you in Fort Worth here this next month, and we'll be rooting for you, thinking about you at the Oscars.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to coming back to Fort Worth and then coming back to Dallas as well next year, next season, so with the symphony. So I hope to talk to you then.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Josh, thanks so much for taking some time out today. And again, congratulations on some really fresh, wonderful Beethoven.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to it.